Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. As we start part two with Coach Raymond with Dynasty football training. If you take time to listen to what he talked about in the first episode and digest what he said, now listen to this next episode. I know it abruptly ended last time. It just picks up. We talk about defense starting out of the gate. And listen to what he has to say about player development and things that he finds to be missing in our soccer community. You might listen to this a little differently. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
And they do focus on defense because, but they aren't as strong in it. So moving towards defense, I honestly don't know what position you played growing up and playing throughout your time, but do you feel like you have a good grasp on all, I call it the four cycles of the game? If you ever, everyone took their coaching license, know exactly what we're talking about, gaining possession, what is it called? All the four transitions. I can't think of them.
Transition. Like, yeah.
The four transitions of the game, and defense I feel gets excluded a lot in private lessons. I feel like my son has had private coaches that heavily focused on more of the defensive side because there's it's so lacking in today's youth.
For
at
sure.
least here in North Texas for like sure. When you see kids come try out for teams, it is hard because majority of players today all want to be score goalers and parents
Absolutely.
Want their kids being score goalers. And
I don't remember
who told me this, but if you're looking for a scholarship right now, you need to learn to play defense now.
Yes.
If you have young players, because your kid will more likely have a greater chance if they can play defense, because that means they are a utility player if they can play the field. As a parent, I want my kid to be able to play everything but goalie.
Right. So 100%, Ian, 100%. And if there's a better topic out there, man, I can't think of one right now to have a discussion about, because absolutely. So if you're looking for a defensive coach or you know, trying to diversify a player and trying to understand how to properly defend, I'm that guy. Okay, if there's a guy that's passionate about defending, I'm passionate about, you know, proper defending and that hard-nosed defending style. You know, it's me because I'm a strong believer that good defenses win championships. They win championships. So without a good defense, you can't get very far. So defensive structure, defensive technique, winning the aerial battles, defensive organization, defensive tactics. Oh, man, I love that stuff. That's right up my alley. But is there a lack of it out there? Absolutely. I can't tell you that I've had a client or had players that come try out that I was like, oh my gosh, this player is the perfect center back. I just haven't seen it yet. So I'm sure they're out there, but they're not coming to me. But yeah, in short, most of my private, you know, on the private side, I think 100% of them are going to have problems defensively of not knowing how to defend. Proper body shape, proper timing, proper technique, aerial especially, in the air especially, they don't know how to defend. 1v1, all that stuff, it's so important. It's so important. I mean, the guys that I can't express enough how I get a kick out of when I specifically my wingers on my team, and if I haven't mentioned this yet, you know, I coach U17 boys. If one of my wingers loses the ball and the opponent's defensive third, and they track back all the way into our third and win the ball back, oh my gosh, that's just as valuable to me as scoring a goal. I love that. I'm super passionate about good defending, and I think it's definitely dying. There's players that come to me to try out, and they're like, hey, well, on our old team, we play defense, you know, but I think he's actually a striker. Or I want him to play as a striker. The parent will tell you, like, hey, I want him to play as a striker. On the old team, he was playing center back. But I want him to play as a striker. He's way better as a striker. I don't understand how, as a parent, unless you're an ex-player, professional player, and even at that, like, why should you decide? Because players do, every single player has natural characteristics and natural attributes as an individual, just like we do as a person.
Right.
So I don't understand why we want to change or influence that. If he's a good defender, man, if it was me, I'd be like trying to build off of that. So right. If he's a good defender, make him passionate about defending. The same passion that striker is going to have about scoring, push that same passion into him about defending. Because defenders are so much harder to find. Guys that like and enjoy defending and have a passion about it, it's so hard to find. A lot of teams you'll see players end up on defense as by default because they don't have the natural technical ability to play higher up the pitch. They'll end up on defense by default. That happens, okay? But that doesn't mean that you as a parent got to tell the player, like, hey, you know, well, maybe next season we'll move you to another team where you're not a fullback or you're not a center back. No, instead, encourage the player. Be like, hey, man, give it everything you got. Because ultimately, it's a lot harder to find good defensive players. A good center back, it's a lot harder to find a good center back than it is to find a good winger or a good striker.
I agree with you on that one. Watching tryouts, it's like every parent wants their kids scoring goals. My son played defense majority of his league season. If you count his league, he's probably one of the leading, probably in the top three scorers for his team as a left back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That tells you anything. I mean, they can score goals from and he did well. I mean,
absolutely. So on set pieces, I can agree with you 100%. So on set pieces, my two center backs are absolutely the highest, most productive players on set pieces. Whether that's a corner or a free kick, my center backs are very productive on set pieces. And to the point to where they may score more goals than my center mids. That happens. We could play a tournament and score 11 goals in the tournament, and six of those goals could belong to one of my center backs. So set pieces is a big part of the game. If we're not coaching set pieces, that's a problem too, but that's a whole other topic. But set pieces are, you know, individuals that can produce on set pieces, man, they're like gold. If you got a kid that can consistently score on set pieces, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a kid that's not scared of the ball and understands how to get off the mark and is consistent with his aerial game. Like, that's a big deal. It's valuable. It's valuable to an ECNL coach. It's valuable to an MLS Next coach. And it's valuable to a college coach. So, like, at every facet, it's valuable. So,
yeah, defense is, I think, is an underrated position. And I say my son gets pigeonholed because he plays defense well. But in my opinion, and he's a natural midfielder. I'm not doing this or a wing position. He is all about placing the ball, about making that great pass, not always about scoring, because at the end of the day, he was, I think it's maybe because how we raised him, it's the assist is more important than that goal, because without a good assist, you'll never have a good goal. And right. I think that's what's wrong with, it goes back to what you talked about, that pass, is we praised him more when he had, we used to give him a we called it his pay for a game. Goals were worth the least amount of like money. Like, we would pay him 5 cents for a goal, but if he gave an assist, he got a quarter. Because he could naturally score at 5 and 6 years old. So it wasn't so much about him scoring. It was more about learning to make a great pass. And or for every good pass, he got the same amount as a goal, which really made him, I think, and as a parent looking back, emphasize passing was more important than scoring at a young age. And maybe I'm looking too much into it now, re-looking back at it, what we were doing, but we thought goals were overrated. And being a good team player was more important. But he's phenomenal in defense, and he plays left back, and he can take on kids 2 years older than him and be successful. And I think that's because we have told him from day one, you need to be able to play any position on the field that your coach puts you in. And I think having him learning defense as something just as important as a skill motivates him to go forward. Now let's transition to, because we could talk all day about that stuff.
That's a great topic. Yeah.
Your video side of your program, because I think if you're able to work with both, you said you can do it remote and they might send you a video, but if you have players that you're privately training now and they send you your video, them their video, and only if you watch 10 minutes of it, you get a good feeling of who they are in that moment of that game. And then you're able to bring it back to the training sessions if you're able to. But just in the video analysis, what type of value do you think you provide to these families by giving them an analysis of the video?
So I think that's a great topic too, Ian. Video analysis can be taken several ways. So some parents and players both are not prepared to handle the criticisms of a video analysis. Let's put that out there, right? Because that's a pretty big deal. I myself have coached players that I know are not prepared to handle the criticisms of a video analysis. And we're talking a real video analysis, not sugarcoating it and not saying, hey, well, you know, that's pretty good. No. Like, those things, like the hardcore, that is not going to work at a high level type of criticisms. There's a lot of people that aren't prepared for that. Positionally, technically, all that stuff, they're just not prepared for those criticisms. And I get that. Like, There's a lot of people that don't want to hear that their kid is doing something wrong. I get that. So I don't think it's for everybody. I don't think video analysis is for everybody. I think video analysis is for those that are really trying to take their players to the next level and are comfortable with the criticisms that come with analyzing film. Because the reality of it is, it doesn't matter if it's Luis Suarez or Messi. There's always something that you can do better if you're analyzing film. There's always something you can improve on. It's always going to be important to be open to those criticisms, but some parents and players are not prepared. The reality of it is that if there's a parent that wants, you know, a video analysis done and the player's not prepared for it or doesn't have the confidence necessary for that analysis, I may totally break their confidence and the kid may not want to play anymore. So those are all things to consider. Absolutely. The video analysis, like I said, is for those that are prepared mentally to be able to hear what an individual coach has to say about that individual player and how they can improve, how they can take that information and put it into their training sessions or their individual training, or just tactically change what they're doing on the pitch. Because there's some players yesterday I did one for one of my female clients. And I know that the coach tactically is not going to change anything about, you know, they just don't have the experience necessary to make that adjustment or maybe to provide the information to the player on what they're doing wrong. Or instead they'll play another player in that place. And they won't play the player that's not doing things correctly, which is the wrong solution. Right. So if you're open to those types of criticisms, it can be very effective. And tactically and positionally, I think is where you can gain the most out of it. Obviously you can, on a video analysis, we can go over technique and stuff. But positionally and tactically, I think there's a lot of advantages to analysis. And obviously, it's done all over the place, right? It's done at the majority of the higher levels. Most CCNL teams do video analysis or game analysis. For sure, MLS Next teams are going to do video analysis and game analysis. It just so happens that I analyze individual players and not necessarily a game. But it does take a certain level of coach to be able to analyze players and games and matches, because not all coaches can see some of the deficiencies in their team. So for my team, I analyze all games. If we won the game 5-0, I want to know why we won it 5-0. So I analyze all games. I don't analyze just the games we lose or just the games that were, you know, tight, 1-0, 1-1, or whatever. I don't analyze just those games. I analyze the 5-0 games, and then I'll analyze my players and I send them film. And even if we won 5-0, hey, maybe if you did this, we could have won 6-0, or we could have won 7-0. Like, so I think it could be more effective if I'm working with an individual player on the analysis. You know, I think U14 and up, they need to be mentally prepared for the criticisms. I think under that age, you know, you can argue that they're still in the development phase and, you know, they still need to be, they're still learning. But I don't understand how the analysis cannot be considered a learning opportunity.
I'm on your page on this. I think it's useful at any age. I mean, when Landon played at Blue Skies when he first started playing, we would sit down and rewatch his games. I should rephrase this, not his first season, but when he switched to playing on a team.
Right.
We would sit down and rewatch his games. And I would tell him, like, what do you think? You have the, I'd pause it. We'd watch it on our TV because I would stream it from our tablet. and put it on the TV. And even at 6 years old, as long as you're putting it in a manner of, I think especially at younger ages, what do you see here and why? And they give you an answer.
Yes.
And you can coax them into finding the right answer or flat out tell them what they did correct or what they did, yeah, did well, or what they could improve on. I think that helps a great deal if you start at a younger age. I mean, you said you're 13, but it's a matter of the approach. I think it's different doing it, sending them a video and getting your feedback, and there's no dialogue back and forth versus taking 15 minutes of a video, doing, I guess you could do even use Zoom for 30 minutes because it's free, and then you could apply and say, okay, I have this set of time, these film clips for you. I'm going to go through them with you. And you could say, like, I'm looking at it as a parent, it's that had no soccer experience, but I understood the basics because I did play basketball and I did wrestling and I did play baseball. Some of the mechanics are the same. Like, you received the ball this way. What do you think you did well? And a lot of times it was, you could see his head was down. Like, why isn't your head up, bud? Or where's the open play in this? And watching him trying to look for it in the next game as a parent, and just me just goofing off with my kid, and he would ask to go sit down after his games that evening if there was time, and rewatch his games with me, because I'd rewatch it as a coach, because I was coaching at the time, but as a and I'd coach him through things. But I think if you start off at an early age and being teaching them that criticism is not a negative thing,
right,
and being positive with it, so when you do start being critical of your player, I get critical of my son at times. I'll ask him, and I'll write him pretty hard, and I'll flat out ask him, like, do you understand, like, I'm not trying to be mean? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you're just trying to make me a better soccer player.
Yes. So and understanding he's 10, that part of it is big.
And he's 10 years old now, and I can lay into him about something that I see he does, and he knows that I love him. It's like, I'll give him a hug afterwards. Right. It's like, you're doing great, but you need to fix this if you want to go to the next level. And I think as parents, instead of just harping on them all the time, is learning to, I think, trying to be a coach and going through my coaching courses at the same time really helped me with the video analysis side of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you said 14, would you go younger then? Or are you 13, whatever age you said? I'm sorry, I didn't write it down.
I said you're 13 and up. 13. Yeah, you can go younger. Absolutely. So I think it's all based on the players and the parents' expectations, and the why always comes back into play, right? Why are we doing this analysis? Why are we approaching this coach to try to analyze the film? Are we trying to create improvement? Are we trying to get a second pair of eyes? Is the kid already playing at an ECNL level? Is he playing at an MPL level, and he's trying to get the classic? I mean, the why is the big deal. But yeah, I think the analysis can be done at any age, really. I analyze film for coaches within the club. So if there's a coach that's struggling to build out of the back, if there's a coach that's tactically struggling through the middle third, they can send me their match film and be like, hey, like, I don't know what to do to be able to get us better. And then I can analyze their film, give them my feedback. And then they can use that to develop training sessions for the next 90 days. So there's different levels of the analysis, right? I could even analyze film for coaches. You know, why are we continuing? I've had coaches that come to me that are, hey, why are we continuing to not be able to produce goals? Like, what are we doing wrong in the final third? Can you take a look at it? Yeah, absolutely. And then I send them my feedback. Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. For sure. There's individual, yes. So I've had coaches that are not within my club, because, again, I'm the coaching director for my club. I've had, you know, based on statistics, which I look at my team, the team's statistics, and I'll approach a coach and be like, hey, man, let me watch a film. Let me watch the video. And they don't want to, They don't want to give me the VO film. And yeah, I agree. It does take a lot of humility. It does take a lot of, you got to be very, what's the word I'm looking for? Humble, right? Humble.
Yes.
And open-minded to the criticisms that are going to come. But I think that's part of coaching development. Like, what are we doing to try to improve as coaches? Are we using our resources? Are we using individuals that are having individuals that are playing at a high level within the club? Are you using that coach to help you? Is he a mentor? Do you have a mentor? What are you doing as a coach to continue to progress? Because if we're not progressing, you know, there's a good chance that we're limited on what we can teach.
Yes,
so
I think
I myself want to have an unlimited bag of knowledge and information that I can teach my players, because that's what creates value. And if I'm limiting myself by not having a humble mindset and having the humility of being able to say, hey, here's my film, and you know, take a look at it, let me know what we're doing wrong so I can start to try to change what we're doing, because what we're doing is not allowing us to be successful. Like, take a look at it. Now, some things I may not be able to change. You know, you could get criticisms from a coach that says, hey, this player is just not a center back. Like, he's not performing his duties and his responsibilities as a center back. Well, I can't change that. Like, the player's on my roster, and you know, he's there, right. And I'm going to try to I have a responsibility to try to develop him into the center back that we need. So I can't influence that. And that's okay. Like, you get that criticism, it's cool. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. Just keep working with the roster you got and do the best you can. And that's okay. But then there's other stuff like positionally based, tactically based, you know, that can really help you continue to develop your players and change the results that you're getting throughout the season. So yeah, I mean, I want to have a bag full of information as much as I can get from as many different places as I can get it. And the day that stops is the day that, you know, I probably need to start looking into something different to do. But as of now, I try to take as much as I can from as many people as I can. Now it's also difficult to find people that are willing to share.
Yes.
Especially at the higher levels. So the more you go up, the more you're going to have a tendency to plateau. So the more experience, higher license, higher, all that stuff, the less you're going to get. You can easily plateau off and run out of resources. But then you have to kind of be creative and, you know, start searching outside the box.
I think that's parents have to, I call it the interview session when you're talking to coaches, and we're kind of getting off topic here, but I think it goes back to what you're talking about with the video. It's video just 5 years ago has changed so drastically to where it is today. And with video analysis being done, and you're talking, you can do it for players, coaches, teams. I think parents need to put more pressure on analytics, because a player can perform, I don't want to use the word perfect, but doing everything to the correct moment, to the correct touch, but then getting the game format. This is where I think having analysis done for games truly does change how players are being developed today. The players that truly want to be at the top, like you said, have to be able to take that constructive criticism. And that's what I was getting with my son, was that like we can criticize him, and he no longer takes it as we're being mean, we're being hard on him. It is, we have a certain expectation of him because we've seen it in practices, or we've seen it in games before. And that's what we hold him to. That's his new standard. And that's what we tell him. It's like, if you aren't doing your new standard, your new level, and we have film and we have memories of those moments, or we have pictures or clips of it from games, we can hold him accountable for to grow. And I think that's where you go back to the criticism side of this. It's that parents don't even like their kids being criticized, not even the player.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We as parents have to be open if we want our player. It's not that you're being mean and picking on the player. You truly care because you took the time. Yes, they are paying you for a service, but you took the time to give them a true analysis. And I think parents can see if I sat down and gave an analysis and you sat down and gave them analysis, our two analyses of the game will be completely different because
absolutely. I don't
have the true coaching background. But I probably could BS my way through it pretty well to criticize someone. But also, analysis is not just saying what they're doing wrong. It's also telling them what they're doing correct.
They're doing right. Yeah,
and doing right in the right moments. And praising them for those moments. And I think when people think that, and I always like to criticize my son, then give him everything he did right. And I only look for one thing or two things I don't think he did well. If I'm going to give him any type of critiquing, but then I'm going to follow it up with everything I saw he did phenomenal and make sure I'm praising him and making sure that I'll ask him, like, what do you think you need to improve on? What do you think you need to work on? And I think if parents set their kids up to learn to have self-evaluation and self-criticism, when a coach comes to them and have criticism, I think that's where
they're more prepared.
They're more prepared for someone to be coming down with them hard. An episode that'll be coming out hopefully in the next week or so is I interviewed Dennis Ginas, and he always says it's like he goes, he has the high expectations for his kids. I mean, his son played in the English Premier League, like he and his daughter played D1 soccer, and
in college,
it's like he set them up, but he had a standard and he was critical of them. He didn't babyfoot around he truly cared because they told him hit their goals. And once your player tells you their goals, criticism is part of the game. And it's like we talked about earlier, you're preparing them not just for now. If they don't ever play soccer beyond the age of 18, if they can go to a job and get criticized or go to college criticized for their work not being well, I think the example that's running through my head, because I watched Young Sheldon recently, and it's a TV show, and this young kid couldn't take criticism and still couldn't when he got bounced back to the original show, Big Bang. He couldn't take criticism of his work.
Absolutely.
Without falling apart. Yes. And as parents, we have to build our kids to be able to take that criticism, because no matter what they do in their life, they're being judged or being analyzed, and especially in sports. If they go beyond, if they go to a true academy, let's say an MLS program, or they get scouted and they go to Europe or South America or wherever it may be, or Mexico or wherever it may be, to go play this beautiful game, being criticized through analysis of games
is
going to be so critical. And what you're providing is not just trying to get them to be better, but teaching them a life skill. And I think that's where parents
Absolutely.
Don't see this all.
So, there's a lot of topics rolled up into what you just said, Ian. You know, are we softening our youth? Is the next generation going to be soft because they're not prepared to hear these criticisms? Is a topic that we can probably speak for 2 hours about, which I'm all about. I totally get it, and I have my opinions on that. But sticking to the video analysis side, you know, obviously, what are the player's goals? Is this something he's taking serious? He needs to be able to handle the criticisms, absolutely. Are the positive criticisms going to be there? Absolutely. Yes, sir. But are the negative ones going to be present? Yes, they're going to be present. And that's the purpose. The purpose is to try to identify what we can improve on.
Right.
So if you're doing these things incorrectly and we have a margin there to try to improve on them, like, let's identify them and try to improve them. Because ultimately that's what's going to develop a better player. But yeah, as you go up in level, so MLS Next, ECNL, collegiate, right? College, the margin of error is a lot smaller as you go up in level, right?
Yes.
The margin of error. So these errors that you're making, if we can identify them and fix them and make them better and improve you as a player, then your margin of error goes down. So you're making less mistakes, if you will, less mistakes, right? There's a whole nother topic about taking risks, right? Are you taking risks in the proper areas as a player? Yes, everybody needs to be confident enough to take risks when those opportunities arise as a player. But we're talking about margin of error here. So you could have this, you can be a coach and carry this player on, and he gets a D2 opportunity South Carolina, and all of that coach is an asshole. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. And his criticisms aren't soft. They're critical. And it's because this guy has a roster of 40 players that he can pick from.
Right. And he wants them all to be the best.
So we softened our youth during their youth stages, right? And during their development stages. And now he gets over there and he hears these harsh criticisms, and he just completely shuts down as a player. So did the coach, did his youth coach fail him in not preparing him properly for these criticisms when they got to the next level? I mean, that's the question. Did we fail them? Did I fail them as a coach? Did the private coach fail him? I mean, did the parent fail him? Somebody failed him because he wasn't prepared for the criticisms that it takes. Let's say he gets a pro contract and goes to, what is it, to USL or MLS Next Pro, whatever it is, the pyramid.
Right. You have USL.
So let's say he plays, yeah. Let's say he plays for North Texas SC, right? Again, the margin for error is nothing. So how is that coach going to criticize him, right? And he's going to get his feelings hurt. I mean, so are we softening our youth or what are we doing? Now, in the development phase, when they're, you know, U11, I get it. You know, we're trying to build players' confidence. Is there still going to be that 1% or 2% of players in the youth level at U11 that are these monsters that are able to work through any criticism in any environment and any training and any coach? Absolutely. They're out there because I've seen them. These kids are just animals, right? So eventually, our son, my son, your son, for those that are going to listen to this, their kids will eventually, if they're the elite, they'll meet up with that monster. So what are they willing to do to outperform that monster? That monster that grew up with nothing. That monster that was able to outperform, outwork everyone in high school and at every level he's ever played, with every coach he's ever played for, what are they going to do to outperform that monster? Or are they going to be comfortable sitting in his shadow? Because I've seen these monsters and they're out there still. We play against them. I've seen them. So is our child and are the kids we coaching prepared to outperform those monsters? You go to Europe, you'll see a team full of monsters.
Right.
A team full of them. Because they've been trained from the age of 8 to have a certain mentality to play with, right? That yes. Monster mentality that they have. They're literally playing and training to put food on the table one day. They're playing and training to put food on the table one day. That's the goal. They're going to do this to make money and provide for their families, and no one's going to change or take anything away from me from that. And whatever it takes to get that done, they're willing to do it. So what are we doing to prepare our kids, our youth, to outperform these monsters? Because they're out there. And eventually they're going to meet up against them. So that's another
good a whole point, other topic.
Great topic. Yeah, whole other topic.
But that goes back to the whole thing with video. I mean, it comes back to what we've been saying with the video. It is prepping right. these kids. And I'm not saying like video analysis, but you provide a video analysis and you will go, I'm assuming you'll probably watch the whole game.
Yes.
And then you'll might take 10 minutes total clips of time, because I mean, when you're playing 11v11, a player might only touch the ball 5 minutes, 10 minutes of a match. Correct. And that's it. And it's what they're doing in the meantime that you'll be walking them through and critiquing. And then when they do have the ball, you're going to be critiquing. But I think, I'm assuming that's what you're going to do. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And going through that motion. But when you give them their feedback, is it not just an audio? Is it a text form so they can go back and read what you wrote? Or
so the way that my analyst, I take the film and I screen record on my desktop, and I'm doing a voiceover during the match. I'm touching on about, like you said, maybe 10 critical points in the match where I feel like they influenced the game, whether it was positively or negatively. And then, unfortunately, I talk too much, so that ends up being like a 20 or 30 minute long video. And then I upload it to YouTube, and then I send them a private link. And then they can watch it as many times as they want. So that's how I analyze film. It's the easiest way for me. If they want to do something in person, I'm totally down to do that. We just have to schedule it out. But what I've learned is most kids spend a lot of time on their phone. So if they're able to watch the YouTube video on their phone, then it's pretty beneficial to them. If you're going to make them get on a desktop or a laptop, they're not likely to watch it, so it's better if you just send it to them through some type of YouTube link, and then they can watch it as many times as they feel necessary. But that's kind of how I do it. I'm sure everybody has their own way of doing it, but that's just, like I said, that's what works for me.
I ask because I find it very fascinating with all the way technology is running and the way technology is going today,
mm-hmm.
is that there's so many different ways. And like I said, there's different avenues to go. If there is at this moment with your destiny football training, is there any advice you'd give parents to encourage them to come use you or to, that's what I'm looking for.
So I think
to use your program or to
sure.
use programs like yours, because I feel like the video analysis, right, especially at the older ages, is so crucial today.
Yes. So as far as words of encouragement, you know, for those listeners out there that are trying to provide an environment for your players' development, for your son's development, for your daughter's development, and you care about progression for them, and you guys are of the mindset and the players of the mindset to be prepared to go over these video analytics together, then yes, it's absolutely beneficial. I think it can totally change the way you impact your team's performance. It can be as simple as two different movements that you can make. They can totally make the difference between you going from averaging, let's say for attacking players, right? Averaging one goal every 2 to 3 matches to averaging one goal a match, which is a massive difference in a coach's perspective, especially if they're playing at a high level. So that's why I would encourage it. For midfielders, I myself used to play as a winger, and then as I got older, I played as a fullback. And then after I graduated and got out of college, I was playing as a center back. So, but I have a very, I enjoy working with center mids a lot. The way I utilize center mids in my matches and tactically may be a lot different from what's being done out there at the moment. Especially the number 10. But like I said, I'm able to basically analyze any position, whether he's a center back, even goalkeepers. We go over technique, how they could have came out, their positioning during the buildup, their distribution. So even goalkeepers can, you know, have film analysis done. Technique is a big one for goalkeepers, which I don't think it's talked about very much, but for most goalkeepers, they go to keeper training, so that stuff is covered. But for those goalkeepers that don't go to keeper training, technique is definitely something that's very important, and that'll be looked at a lot at the higher levels. So if you're interested in having your keeper play up or progress into some of the higher levels of play, technique's going to be critical. And of course, that goes with all positions. So I guess that's kind of just across the board.
Hello, and I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. With Coach Raymond, I feel like he was just honest like he was the first time. Just lays it all out there, doesn't hesitate, doesn't care, just wants your player to develop. And develop to be the best player they can be. Not what we want them to be, but what the player can be and the potential they may have. So as parents, as you're looking for private coaches, listen to what he has to say and what he may inspire you all to be for your player. It starts with your player, not you as parents. We're just the avenue to help fulfill the dream that they might have to go play at the next level that they might want. So take what he has to say and run with it. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.